Well, this morning, we're going to be talking about, the title this morning of my message is Keep It and Drive. Keep It and Drive. And so, Pastor, actually, he was alluding to some certain things, and I was like, well, he's going to preach my message, so I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to listen to it, you know? But no, he made some good references there, and we're going to talk a little bit about this morning. You know, sometimes people struggle a little bit moving forward. Anybody ever struggle moving and moving ahead and trying to leave the past behind? Anyone, or am I just the only one? I like when I get something and I like it, I don't vary much, okay? I don't change. It's like I had this conversation a few weeks ago with somebody. Like, I have my favorite restaurants that I like to go to, and I don't really vary. You know, not that I'm not adventurous, it's that I know what I like there. Anyone else agree with me? It's like you make all these plans to go out to this new restaurant and you still go back to Old Faithful. Am I not the only one in here that does, you know? And so me and my wife, we were talking about it the other day. We had our anniversary a couple weeks ago, and we were like, well, where are we going to go? Let's try somewhere new, you know? And so we're driving, we're trying to figure it out, and where we're going to go, and we're like, no, we don't know really what's there. And we always go back to our favorite restaurant here in the city, the Prospector. Amen? You can't beat the soup and the rolls and, you know, it's in the salad. Oh, Jesus, help us. It's so good, you know? But just keep going back there. Some of us have trouble moving past and transitioning to the new, you know? It can be a very scary ordeal. I remember when I was younger, and, you know, you're kind of going from, you know, that teenage, young adult kind of going into like responsibility, married, kids, and house, and you got all those responsibilities coming on you. And that can be kind of a scary situation. I don't know, some of you older people, you know, you remember what I'm talking about? To when you went from being a kid to, oh, I'm responsible for a kid now. You know? It's like, wow, that was kind of a scary transition. And I know there's some people in here and they're going through different transitions in their life, might be a different job or whatever. Well, let me encourage you this morning a little bit with this, is that, you know, God wants us to keep moving forward. If you look at a lake or a pond, and there's no flow and there's no movement, it turns stagnant. And it kind of gets all gross and disgusting, you know? But where you have movement and a constant flow, it's fresh, it's refreshing, it's new. There's life in there, you know? And that's kind of what where you need to be related to, is that we need to make sure we're just not stopped and stagnant in one spot, but we are moving. We keep it in drive. We keep it moving. The last little while, I've been working on some mechanical things, some boats and cars and stuff like that, and I've kept saying the worst thing you can do with something mechanical is not use it. Because if it's not being used, it seizes up. It starts to rust and rot and things break down. Well, once again, if we're not moving forward and not being used and doing what we need to be doing, well, we're going to run into some issues now, aren't we? You know? So we need to be paying attention to this. Turn over in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Everyone doing all right this morning? All right, good. And making sure, I was getting a little quiet in here again. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Well, let me tell you something. These last 2 years, I am willing to forget. You know, if there's certain things that need to be erased from my memory, that could be it, you know. But I am looking forward to our future. I'm looking forward to what's happening next. Pastor alluded to some big plans that we got in the works for around here. You know, we want to build, you know, the facility for the Bible school students. We want to build that women's center, you know. We want to build that new auditorium. There's some big vision and some big plans for here. But what if we just said, no, we're okay. Actually, you know, we're kind of going to regress. Let's go down and just, you know, a little room and just a guy with a guitar and, you know, forget about the whole TV thing. Let's just kind of keep it simple and just, well, that's regression. We don't want to do that. You know, and we're not even okay with where we're at right now. We want to do better. We want to have a bigger impact and do more. Not because, oh, look at me, look what I'm doing. It's look at God and look what he's doing. Are you listening to me this morning? good. That's good. So like I said, some people have a hard time moving forward. They just hold on to the past, the good old days, you know, and hanging out. Do you remember things were so good back then, don't want to change? Well, let me tell you something. Our best days are ahead of us. Our best days are ahead of us. It just might not seem like it sometimes, but I can guarantee it. Your best days are ahead. Every year keeps getting better and better and better and better and better. It might not, well, Pastor Steve, I don't know how you can say that. Well, I can say it. I just did say it. Because I believe it, because I see it. I believe it. I act on it. You know? First of all, I'm a faith person. So I trust in the Lord that He's going to lead me and guide me. I've given up trying to do things on my own strength because it just does not work the way that it needs to work. So therefore, I have to quit what I want to do, and I start following suit. I start following the call of God. And we're going to look at some instances in Scripture here shortly about how people left everything to follow God. But you see that it was kind of a pull a little bit on some guys. But we'll look at this now in a second. You know, it's difficult to move to the next level successfully unless you know that God has a better plan for you. You have to know that God has a big plan and a big purpose, and you have to trust and rely on Him. And you have to be willing to leave everything that you know to step out to the unknown. 15 years ago, newlywed, married for 2 weeks, and me and my wife stepped into the unknown. We moved to Oklahoma to go to Bible college. I didn't know what a broken arrow was, let alone a rhema, you know. But here we were. Here's this little newfie boy and his new bride chasing the whole family. It was like the Beverly Hillbillies, not going to lie. It was my mom, pa, my grandmother, my two brothers, my sister, the cat. I mean, we loaded up everything we had in an SUV, my little red car, and we had a 24-foot trailer behind us, whatever we had. We had to pack that trailer over twice because the first time, we couldn't take everything. We were like 10,000 pounds over the limit of what we could take, you know? So we kept dwindling down to, you know, where it was, wow, you know? And man, we got it on the road. And I'm sure people thought we were crazy. I will never forget the look on the guy's face when we crossed over the border in Maine. And we had to have all of our paperwork in order, and my dad is a very organized guy. I mean, he had everything listed out. I mean, everything that was in every box he had listed out. We knew everything. Everything was numbered. You know, everything was just so. It had all the paperwork. But there's one thing that we didn't have, and that was an address on where we were going to live. So when we walk into the border office there, these people are already hot because you're dealing with somebody that was very rowdy. I don't know if you remember this, Mom, Pa. There was a guy in there, and he was, I guess, I don't know what they were doing, but they were very loud and very unruly. And I mean, and the border officers, they were getting ready to tase him, man. I mean, they were getting ready to lock him up, you know. It was going to be an episode on TV or something. It was getting exciting. And so here we are. And we're watching all this take place, and I'm like, I'm moving into America, and this is what's happening already? Americans are crazy, you know? So we're watching this, and anyway, it comes our turn. And so by this time, these guys that are, you know, they were professional, but you could tell that they were flustered, you know? And so we start going through all the stuff, and then the question comes, so what's your address? Where are you moving to? Dad looked at the man stone cold in the face, all seriousness, and said, we don't have one yet. And the guy kind of, so you mean to tell me you're moving to the States and you don't know where you're going to go? And Craig was like, yes. That was it. And then he looks at all of us, and we're there with the big greasy grin on our face, you know, just like, yeah, this is what we're doing, you know. And he's like, so you're telling me, and this went on for a little bit. I remember the conversation went back and forth a little bit, stepping into the unknown. And so finally, they're like, yes, when we get there, we're going to have something lined up. And you know, Skipper's got a smooth silver tongue here, okay? He talked the guy, and I mean, he told him what we're going to do. This is our plan. We're going to find something. So with that assurance that, yes, we're going to find something, they were nice enough to let us cross. The Hussey Family Gong Show crossed, okay? And then we drove, and I mean, we've seen lots of cool things, but I mean, for a young married man, this is all new, and we're driving and experiencing all these new things and seeing all this new stuff, and the excitement was building. I mean, we were getting close, and all of a sudden, you know, a few days later, we seen a sign, "Welcome to Oklahoma," and I was like, oh boy, excited, we've reached it, you know? And then we pull into Broken Arrow, and we come in on the eastern side of Broken Arrow, and at that time, there was not much there. And when we crested the hill, there was like nothing there. And I said to Kendra, where has he brought us? I'm like, we left, you know, it's just like this little tiny place. There was only a few places there. And I'm like freaking out at this point. I'm like, we've gone from bad to worse. You know, I'm getting ready. And so he keeps driving. So I'm following him. And all of a sudden we pull into, you know, starts getting a little bit more populated, a few more houses, and I'm like, okay, this is a little better. We start seeing stuff. Then he pulls in on the left side, pulls into this big driveway, you know, this big parking lot to this massive building. And I'm like, why is he going to the stadium for? You know, is he got to find? So anyway, we pull in, and we're looking, and I go, what are we doing? He goes, this is the church. I said, no, it's a stadium. No, this is the church. This is the school over here. Like, no, Dad, this is a stadium. Steve, this is Rhema. And when I got it and looked around, I was just like, oh, my Lord, this is amazing. And you know how Pastor had mentioned earlier, he said when he walked into that hotel room with that church and he felt, I could be here, this is home? That's the exact same feeling that I had when I got out and I just started looking around. I'm like, I'm here. This is where I'm supposed to be. So all the unrest and all the excitement and all the things that was going on and, you know, all of a sudden, it was just this moment of pure peace, of I'm entering into what's next, you know? And I had that feeling again 2 years later when we came up and visited Faith City Church and on Secord Street on spring break, and we knew when we got here that this was home. As soon as we pulled in, we knew this was home. And we came up here for a week. We weren't here 25 minutes in Thunder Bay when the Lord already told us this is where we're going to be. I'm starting to be like Pastor Ken here now. And I remember we spent that week with some awesome people, with Pastor and Miss Anita. And before we left, they asked us to come back. And I said, yeah, we'll be back. This is home. We have no choice. This is where we got to be. And I knew from the first day we got here that this is where we're supposed to be. You see, guys, when we stop trying to figure things out on our own, and we allow God to move through us, we stop trying to figure out and be in control of the transitions and of the change in our life and let God do what needs to be done, it's going to be so sweet. Let me tell you, it hasn't always been a bed of roses. There's always going to be ups and downs. There's always going to be tests and trials. But when God is leading you, He's going to navigate you through it. Amen? He's going to find a way to get you through. You know, when you might come up against the wall and be like, how in the name am I going to get through this? You know, when you come and you've got to explain your situation to somebody, you know, how am I going to get through this? Lord's like, I got you. I got you. Amen. You know, in Ecclesiastes 3, chapter 3, verse 1, it says, in Proverbs, it says, for everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven. And, you know, there is a time for us to stay in one spot, but then there's a time for us to move forward. And I believe this church is growing because we have a bunch of people who've made the decision to start moving forward. Amen? There are seasons in our lives when there needs to be change. This past season that the whole world went through called COVID, it forced a lot of people to change the way that they done stuff and they do business and the way that they communicate and, you know, the way, you know, companies ran and the way church even operated. You know, things were forced to change. But when I look at that, I also see, yeah, there was some bad things in there, but I also see some good things that come out of it because people started really realizing and waking up. I've seen a lot of people actually reach out to God more. I know people or families started connecting more. People started coming together more. even though we're supposed to be 6 feet apart, you know? But you've seen that, and now it's people have such a respect and such an excitement to come together, you know? Isn't it great to be around people again? Isn't it great to come to church and worship Jesus together in one accord? You know, we're not all separated, you know? And so when you see this, things like this take place, you know, that's moving forward. It almost seemed like there for 2 years we regressed a little bit, but it made me and like my family and ourselves, we kind of reevaluated on how we conducted ourselves and what we had as priorities, you know? It brought us closer as a family. I mean, we spent more quality family time together because you can spend time with your kids, but then you can spend time with your kids. Are you listening to me? You know? So moving forward is super duper important. One of my most favorite guys in the Bible, I got two guys that I really like. One is King David, and the other one is the Apostle Paul. King David's a character. I like looking at his life. But I also love Paul. I think Paul is fantastic. And when I get to heaven, I have a list of questions to ask Mr. Paul, okay? You know, I got a lot of stuff, and, you know, and there's a lot of things I want to talk to him about, you know. I also want to give him some, you know, pointers on sailing, all right? Because, you know, if we get to heaven and, you know, we're going to go out and boat for a ride because I believe there's water in heaven, there's lakes, and there's going to be boats there, you know, and we go for a sail. I want to make sure, I know everything's supposed to be good, but he's not going to shipwreck us. All right? You know what I'm saying? But Paul was a guy, Paul was committed. And he started off as Saul, major transition that took place in his life, and he hit the ground running. And when he changed, when he had that big Jesus moment, transitions didn't seem so bad on him. He was willing to do whatever to move forward. Paul was committed to God and did whatever the Lord had called him to do. And similar, or the same for us as well, is that God wants us to be committed to his plan and for the church to work together, completing the purposes that we have set before us. Turn over your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 to 8. This is how, this was Paul's attitude towards this whole thing here. It says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not come to me only, but unto all of them also that love his appearing." He said he fought the good fight of faith. And so therefore, moving ahead and completing your task successfully means you're going to have to put up with some contention a little bit. You're going to have to fight a little bit. But you know, the Lord will never lead us where he can't keep us. The Lord is not going to bring us to a place to where we're not going to be able to handle it. Right? Because he's going to bring us through. He's going to carry us through. You might feel so weak and so beat up and it's like, oh, I can't make it. Well, let me tell you something. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean on to him. Trust not in your own understanding. You don't try and figure it out and do it on your own strength. You're not going to do it anyway. We're not built that way to do it. We can't. We have to trust in the Lord. So you might be saying, well, Pastor Steve, I got all these changes coming up in my life. That's exciting. You know why? Because that's growth, that's stretching, and there's going to be benefits. Don't be afraid of change. Don't be afraid of moving forward. Some of y'all have been questioning some things. As I was preparing this message yesterday, and even this morning, I was reading over it, the Lord kept kind of downloading and dropping little things in my heart. And it was like, Steve, there's people that are struggling with transition. There are people struggling with change. There are people that need to move forward. They can't do what I've called them to do unless they change their mindset. You have to forget about the past. Stop looking in the rearview mirror. Put that baby in drive and hammer down. Like we're going to do in about an hour's time. Amen? And we're going to hit the open road. We might have to pull Joe. Joe's a slow driver. That's a big inside joke there. My wife is crazy. Driver. She likes the interstates. I don't know how she hasn't got a ticket. I just don't know. I don't know. It's the Lord's directing her path around the cops, I guess. He said he fought a good fight of faith. Paul done what he was supposed to do. He completed his task because he did not stay in one spot. If you had to go to work, but all you did was stay home, but you had to go somewhere, would you be able to do what you're supposed to do? No. If you got to go and you're a construction worker, you got to go build a house, right? But yet you stay in your house, you're not going to be successful at building that home. It's just not going to work. You can't do that over Zoom or Skype, can you, Joe? You know, you can't put 2x4s together on a construction site across town when you're home. You just can't do that. You got to get out and you actually got to go to work. You got to get dressed. You got to get in your truck. You got to grab your tools. You got to go to Tim Hortons drive-thru and get your coffee, you know? And then you got to drive to the construction site. You got to get out and then you got to start driving nails together and cutting boards and pouring concrete and doing whatever you got to do to build that house. That's what you have to do. So there's no good for us to, you know, expect to have this beautiful house built if we're not going to do nothing about it. If we're just going to sit home and, you know, think that we're getting it done. It's the same thing when it comes to the things of the Lord, is that we have plans. We got to get moving. We got to get out there. We got to start doing stuff. Come on, we got to not stay where we were. Because if we want to reap the benefits, to have something beautiful and be able to have that same testimony as Paul did, I have finished my course. Finish the race, and that there's a crown of righteousness waiting for us. There's rewards in heaven. Come on, baby, we got something to do. Can I get amen in here? We got things that we need to start doing. Now, the verse says he finished his course and was ready to leave the earth, and he was ready to check out to be with the Lord. He was looking forward with much anticipation as a reward for finishing his race, for doing what he was supposed to do. Now, he was not disappointed or even sad to leave because he was successful. How many of you want to have a successful life? Anybody in here? Now, let me ask you, how many successful people do we have in here? The same hand should be up. Well, you know, it's successful. Your life is successful. Why? Because the Lord said it is. The Lord said you are blessed, so therefore you are blessed. You just got to start acting on it. Amen? I consider myself a successful person. Why? Because the Lord said so. And the Lord lines things up. You know, Pastor Roma was talking about there when he's talking about the offering, about giving. You know, the price of fuel has gone up. The price of everything has gone up. But you know what's also happened with that? Yeah, I've seen the price of everything go up, but I've seen the Lord sustain my family in the increase. It keeps coming up with it. Amen? I haven't really slowed down that much in the way of gas consumption. All right? Mine has probably gone up even more, you know? But I'm telling you something. I am not begging for money. I'm not borrowing money. The Lord is sustaining and providing. Amen? That's my God right there. My God supplies. My God abides. My God keeps. My God is secure. My God is going to make sure that I am above, that I have more than enough. And that becomes from our obedience to keep moving forward and following what He's called us to do, Pastor. You know? Listen, you're doing what God's called you to do. Yeah, there's going to be some rough patches. Don't get me wrong. The grass is not always greener. Right? There's going to be opposition. There's going to be buffets. There's going to be things that's going to come and try and hinder you. Apostle Paul even talks about in Scripture about how there was messengers of Satan sent to buffet him. You know? He had all those issues that he was thrown in jail, shipwrecked, beaten, left for dead, starved, all those things. Yeah, it's something to get excited about. No. Paul went through all those things, but he still completed his course, his race, and he reaped the benefits because of his obedience, and the Lord sustained him. Amen? I'm so thankful that we serve an overcoming King. Now, here's something else, too, moving forward. What you cry about today, you're going to laugh about tomorrow. Because there's things in your past, and, you know, we love to thinking about the good old days or the bad old days, depending. And sometimes we can get into a rut and be like, oh, woe is me. I can't believe I did this, or I can't believe I done that, or look what I went through, or look at this. You know what? Quit your belly aching. I got to say that to me, too. Because there's times when you just want to hold on to the things in the past. Well, this person did this to me, and they, you know, they said this, and so I'm never, ever going to forgive them ever again. I can't be the only one that's ever done that in here. Come on, anyone brave enough to say you've done that? See? I like this guy. He shoots his hand up. Yeah, that's right. But, you know, it's when we get out of our emotion space, out of our head, and we start realizing, you know, wait a minute. Yeah, they done me wrong, but I'm doing them wrong by holding resentment and holding unforgiveness and holding all those yucky feelings on the inside. You know, this is something that the Lord has been revealing to me through Scripture and through different scenarios in the Bible with different characters. It's like, you know what? People who held on to those things, their lives fell apart. But people who lived in forgiveness and people who, yeah, they were wrong or they done some things wrong and they asked for forgiveness and then they forgave others, their lives became a whole lot better, you know? You see, they forgot about the past and the things that they were crying about yesterday, they were laughing about tomorrow. And let me tell you something. Yeah, sorrow may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And let me tell you something. It's about daybreak. The sun's just about to rise for some of us in here. It's soon time for us to get some of that joy bubbling on the inside of us. Amen? It's soon time to get up and forget about that and start moving forward. It's a new day. It's time to forget about the past. It's time to forget about, you know, our failures and our shortcomings and the things that we've done wrong. Because why? We got Jesus leading us. Come on. The Apostle Paul was not crying about his mistakes or his past failures because he stayed faithful to the plan of God. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1. Let's turn over there. Now we're going to look at this little scenario, this situation that took place. It says, "Now the Lord said to Samuel, 'You have mourned long enough for Saul. I have rejected him as king of Israel. So fill your flask with olive oil and go to Bethlehem. Find a man named Jesse who lives there, for I have selected one of his sons to be my king.'" Now, you see, Saul was no longer anointed to be the king of Israel. And Samuel was really upset over this. Scripture said he was mourning. But now God wanted Samuel to move on to the next phase of his assignment. Because God had some bigger and better plans in store. And it was through who was supposed to be king, David. Now, at this point in time, David was a little lad, young man, teenager, and he was abiding to his father's flocks. But at this point, he had already killed a lion and a bear as well. So when you got a 13, 14, 15-year-old young man that's already taken out a lion and a bear, he's something special. Okay? You know, he's something else. Like, I'm a big guy. I ain't wrestling a bear. Anyone in here going to wrestle a bear? Anyone ever wrestle a bear? No, I ain't wrestling no bear. I'm not that crazy. I've seen bears. I've had bears come up to my vehicle, and I'm like, "You're big. I'm big, but you're big, and you got claws. I don't have claws like that, you know? I ain't going to wrestle a bear. And a lion. Well, thank the Lord we don't have lions over here that's just roaming around. But can you imagine? I don't like cats as it is. I'm just not a cat person. I'm sorry if you're a cat person. I'm just not a fan of cats. They just freak me out. I don't know why. It's like dogs think they're human. Cats think they're God. I don't know. It's just, I don't like cats that much. I don't know. It's like every time I come into the presence of a cat, I just feel condemned. You're not as good as what I am, you know? Clean up my poop, human. You know, it's like, you know, scrape my box. I'm like, oh, man. And my parents have a cat, and this cat, you talk about longevity, what is he, like 87? 16? He's soon going to qualify for old age pension, that cat. But, you know, Sid, I remember when he was little, and he was the cutest little thing. He was only about to, you know, fit in your palm of your hand when he was little. But, you know, those cute little things, they grow up to be demons. And we have a love-hate relationship. He loves to hate me, that cat, you know? So I can only imagine what David was going through when he was taking out that, you know, I really don't think he was like, here, kitty, 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 bam! I don't think that's what he was doing when he was, I think, you know, there was a fight of some sort because it was attacking his flock. But here was Samuel, all upset, because God told him to go anoint. And he's like, nope, enough's enough, Samuel. You got to go do what you're supposed to do. Enough of this whining, enough of this crying. Come on. We got to do what we're supposed to get done. Get done here. And so he had to go and anoint David. Amen? See, moving on, moving forward, and we've seen what took place. Now, people cry and get upset about a lot of things in their lives. And it's things that God really never intended for them to deal with or to have in the beginning. So there are times personally when I felt upset because people's left or, you know, here around the ministry, things just haven't gone the way that I wanted it to go, you know, or just different scenarios. But then there's a time when you realize it's like, okay, enough feeling sorry for yourself. You know, pull up your socks, put on your big boy pants, smarten up, and go finish doing what you're supposed to be doing. Are you listening to me? And the Lord will guide you and tell you that, okay, enough's enough. Come on, you want to be successful? You start moving forward. You want to stop crying, stop your belly aching, stop crying over spilled milk type thing. You know, it's time to get moving. It's time to start doing something up in here. You know? So it's time to quit crying over stuff like Samuel did, but it's time for us to get ready to move on. You know, some were stuck living in the past, but it's time for us to live out God's purpose and plan for me and you. Let me ask you this question. Are you ready to move on? Are you ready to step out and kind of forget about those things that are in the past and that's been slowing you and holding you back? You know? But even as you're moving forward, you know, sometimes it can be stepping out into the great unknown and not really sure, but God will reveal bits and pieces onto you. You know? He'll kind of whet your whistle a little bit with what's come next. He won't show you everything because that would be crazy. If the Lord revealed everything to me 15 years ago, you know, about what I'd be doing up to this point, I probably would have ran the other way as fast as I possibly could. But I'm glad that he shows you bits and pieces, you know, good and bad too, you know. But he prepares you for it. He gets you equipped. He's going to give you the tools that you need to be successful. John chapter 16, verse 13 in the New Living. It says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. See? You're going to get direction downloaded from God's positioning system called the Holy Spirit. He's going to download stuff on the inside of you and going to help direct your steps and show you what you're supposed to be doing. I've had conversation with some people in here in the last little while about some changes that's happening in their life. Some people are moving. Some people are swapping jobs. Some people are doing some different things. And, you know, they tell me that the Lord is leading them. And I think that is fantastic. When the Lord leads you, you follow. Amen? When the Lord is guiding and directing, you need to follow that. When you feel that impression and you feel that God is speaking to you and telling you need to step out and do something, don't hesitate. Just do. You know? So when you step out and you do, you're going to see great and mighty things take place. And it's going to blow your mind because you're not actually, it's not going to be the way that you expected or what you expect to happen. God, by His Spirit, will reveal the future to us if we pay attention and choose to listen to His instructions. You know? He'll even show you tough things that you're going to go through sometimes, but he's going to show you how you're going to navigate through them. What are you talking about? Well, let's see here. Turn into your Bibles to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, verse 27. Is this okay today, guys? You getting anything out of this? That's good. Acts chapter 11, verse 27 to 28.
And it said, during this time, some prophets traveled to Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up in one of the meetings and predicted by the Spirit that a great famine was coming upon the entire Roman world. This was fulfilled during the reign of Claudius. So the believers in Antioch decided to send relief to their brothers and sisters in Judea, everyone given as much as they could. This they did, entrusting their gifts to Barnabas and Saul to take to the elders of the church in Jerusalem. Okay? So here, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, a man stood up and said what was going to happen. And sure enough, it came to pass. They said that there was going to be some rough times ahead. But you know what happened? The body of Christ banded together, and they got together, and they sent relief. They sent help. They came together to build one another up, to encourage your brothers and sisters that was in a different city. Okay? The Lord told them what was coming to get prepared. And in the Old Testament, we see that as well, too. One of my favorite Bible stories is Noah. God warned Noah on what was going to come. Hey, Noah, there's going to be rain. I need you to build a boat. Okay, great. What's rain? And what's a boat? Well, we're going to have lots of water going to come from the sky, and you're going to build this great big thing. It's going to be this big and this big. You're going to put all the animals on there, and it's going to be watertight, and that when the rain flows, comes, and everything starts to flood, it's going to float. So, you know, that's the boat. Okay, so when is this happening? You don't worry about that right now. You just do what you need to do and get it done. And so here's Mr. Noah. He built that boat. And it took him, what, 100? I forget the number. It was a long time building a boat. You know? He was the original boat builder. And it took him a while to build a carnival cruise, put it that way, you know? And so he built that boat. But people ridiculed him. People made fun of him. But let me tell you something. When the rain came, who had the last laugh? You know? The monkeys were hanging over the boat. Ha, 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 you know? Laughing at him. Because they said to those guys, they were beating on the side, open up, let us in. The water was rising, and that was it. You know? It's interesting to see that God will warn us, and God will tell us, and God will show us, and God will prepare us. I love how he will do that. The decision to follow through is on me and you. God's not going to force you because he's given us a free will. You know? God's not going to force you to do that, to do whatever. You know? God's not going to make you hold a gun to your head and be like, you got to do this, Gene, right now. Start building a boat. You know? No. But he's going to tell you, Gene, this is what's going to happen. I need you to build me a boat. Okay? Well, Jean's going to go get her gopher wood, and she's going to start, you know, building a boat, because that's, you know, if she's going to follow and she wants to be successful and come out on top with a bunch of monkeys, that would be fantastic, amen? A couple giraffes, that's what she's going to do. Now, God's not always going to lead us to the nicest of places either, but he's going to bring us to places that we need to be. I know there's many times you hear people, but, oh, Lord, you know, call me to a beach ministry. You know, or, you know, I want to go to an island somewhere, a nice tropical island, you know. Now, you know, not necessarily. Maybe you need to start working in your own community a little bit, you know. Let's see here. What's the scripture verse I'm looking for? Right here. Turn over to Matthew 24:13. He'll help those. He'll help you lead you through those rough places and rough times. And you learn to grow and you develop in character as well. In Matthew 24, verse 13, it says, Jesus said this because he knew what was up. He said, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. Now, Jesus was led to the desert. Then Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. In return, this is Luke chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River, and he was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Jesus ate nothing all that time and became very hungry. So Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit to go into the desert 40 days where he was tempted. We can read the whole story there and the conversation that went back before between Jesus and the devil. And we can see what took place there. And let me tell you something. where Jesus was led was not necessarily a nice place. You know, we're complaining about, you know, 90-degree weather, 100-degree weather. Anyone ever been in a desert over in the Middle East? I mean, it gets hot, very hot, you know? I mean, super hot, where things melt, you know? And when I mean things, I mean like roads and asphalt and cars. You know, I seen a video the other day, I believe it was in, where was it? Was it in Egypt? And it was actually pictures of automobiles. And there was plastic on them, was actually melting because it was so hot outside. All right? I think that's what we got to look forward to in Tulsa. You know? And so it was hot. The desert, it was just not some nice, you know, oasis there. I mean, Jesus was 40 days in the desert being tempted. And he was led there. There's going to be times when you're not going to be necessarily led to this place where you want to be. But the Holy Spirit, the Lord, or the Holy Spirit guided him there, and the Lord sustained him. Amen? So you might be led to a desert. Okay? Lord, why am I here? Just trust him. Because you're going to come out so much better. With a nice suntan too. All right? Jesus told his followers as well to go to the hard places because he knew how to deal with hard stuff. You know? In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8, it says, even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things he had suffered. Jesus was fully man and fully God, and he still went through much sufferings and much ordeals. And he was led through the desert. He was led through people. People tried to kill him before he was on the cross. They tried to throw him off a cliff. Remember that? You know? Apostle Paul was the same thing. They tried to stone him and kill him and do all those things and beat him and all, you know? But he was led through those people, and he still came out on top. He was still able to successfully do what he was called to do, amen? So guys, here's the thing to think about this morning. That our first scripture verse that we had a look at in Philippians chapter 3:13. Let's put that up one more time. Philippians 3:13. Right? Now. My clicker don't work. There it is. One of those. I guess the batteries are getting low in this thing. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. But I focus on this one thing. Let's all say this last bit together. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Guys, we need to forget about the past. But we need to look forward to what lies ahead. God will lead us, he will guide us, and he will sustain us. And not only sustain us, he will bless you. Because my God is a God of more than enough. God is going to get you through. God's going to get you over. Man, God's going to provide. He's going to, you know, help you thrive. He's going to do all those things for you. Worship team, you can come back. I mean, God is going to do some pretty, pretty cool things. But the encouraging thing here is that we got to forget about the past. We got to stop looking at what was in our rearview mirror. Because that's what's holding us back. You ever try to drive with your handbrake left on? Emergency brake? You'll move a little bit, but it's kind of hard. And looking back in the past, it's kind of driving with your handbrake on. You're not getting very far. Or if you're a boat guy like myself, you got your anchor overboard, try and take off with your anchor in. You ain't moving very far. You know? You might be revving all your motor and got your prop going and you got, you know, full speed on your boat and you're not going nowhere. We got to cut those chains. We got to release the brake. You know, we got to let go of the past and the hurt and the shame and all those things that we've had in our past. And we got to start allowing God to take control and lead us and guide us. Amen? We start following him. So guys, today, if you're going through transition, if you're coming up with change and you're a little apprehensive about it, you know what? Don't worry about it. Let God lead you. God brought you to it. He's going to lead you through it. God's going to get you there. And God's going to get you through it. He's going to guide you. And you're going to come out on the other end so much a stronger person, a better person, a better equipped person. Come on, you're going to reap the benefits. I want to have a testimony when my time comes, like Paul. I've completed my course. I finished my race. And that there's a reward waiting for me, a crown of righteousness. When I get to heaven, I want to hear those words, you know, well done. But I know there's a lot of work got to be done here yet. I'm nowhere near complete what I'm supposed to do. And I don't think any of us here are. Turn on the TV and it shows you how crazy the world is. And we're the ones that's got something to do with that. We got to help change it. We're the salt of the earth. We got to get in there. We don't only add flavor, but we slow decay. We slow the crazy that's going on in here. We have something that we're supposed to be doing, ladies and gentlemen. Everyone stand up. Where the Lord leads, we need to follow. The way he led Paul, the way he led Jesus, the way he spoke to Noah, the way he spoke to Samuel. The list goes on and on of people in Scripture. Reminded of the Israelites when they were told to get out of Egypt, to leave, you know. The first little portion of the journey was all excitement until they got up against the first big obstacle. But then the Lord made a way. Even though we might seem a little apprehensive, like the Israelites, and, oh no, would you bring us out here, Moses, to die? You know, our enemy is at our back. Water at our front, what are we going to do? You're going to trust in the Lord, because what did Moses do? He stuck his rod in the river, in the great big sea. And the Lord split it open and made a way for him to walk through. You might not see the answer in your own eyes, but the Lord's already got the solution worked out. He's already got you going through. Baby, you're already walking across on dry land. Come on now. You're going to march into that promised land. The promised land is where God is leading you. Amen? The promised land is full of prosperity. It's the land flowing of milk and honey. It's the place where we're supposed to be. Amen? And we're going to get there. We're on our way there. Amen? We're living in it. We're acting on it. We're doing what we're supposed to be doing. Amen?